Welcome to Talking About Organizations, a podcast on organization and management studies graciously supported by our listeners. This is a supplement to episode 120, where we discuss an important work from institution theory, Paul DiMaggio and Walter Powell's The Iron Cage Revisited, Institutional Isomorphism and Collective Rationality in Organizations, published in the American Sociological Review in 1983. In just a few short pages, DiMaggio and Powell summarize the state of institution theory and a wide range of foundational works on institutionalization to offer an alternative explanation to Weber's classic warning about rationalism. Weber was concerned that bureaucratization was becoming a way of efficiently and effectively controlling people such that there was no escape and no way to curb bureaucratic momentum. He referred to this as an iron cage. In revisiting the iron cage, DiMaggio and Powell claimed that bureaucratization had been achieved and yet did not fully explain why organizations found themselves looking more and more alike. Efficiency was far from the only reason why organizational forms appealed to others. Sometimes it was the exercise of control, but other times it was a matter of adopting what seemed interesting or different, just because it was not the status quo, or because experts or professionals promoted an idea or a way that they felt was better even when it was not fully tested or guaranteed to work. So what were these forces or mechanisms of isomorphic change? To answer this question, the authors began with a definition of organizational fields, a collective of organizations that, quote, in the aggregate, constitute a recognized area of institutional life, end quote. This followed from previous work by DiMaggio, whereby he offered that such fields exist only to the extent they are institutionally defined. They may be an industry, but they may be something else, such as a profession or a body of regulatory agencies over a similar domain. From this, two forms of isomorphism can be described. Competitive, in the sense that organizations within a field adopt each other's practices to make themselves relevant and attractive to customers and client. And institutionalized isomorphism, about homogenizing for political power, legitimacy, or social fitness, independent of the effects on actual organizational performance. The remainder of the article explains institutional isomorphism as one of three types: coercive, mimetic, and normative. Coercive isomorphism is the result of external pressures on an organization to adopt a common standard based on expectations, government regulations or mandates, or perceptions of simply missing out or falling behind. Mimetic isomorphism draws from uncertainty and perceptions of risk. Organizations find themselves modeling others' behaviors as efficient and inexpensive ways of mitigating uncertainty and avoiding sticking out in the wrong ways. Then, normative isomorphism is explained as being rooted in professionalism, where formal education, professional networks, and other shared sources of expertise lead organizations to model what is perceived to be the state of the art or what a particular school or association is promoting as preferred approaches. This leads to a set of 12 hypotheses for further research built on these forms of isomorphism and their antecedents. 40 years later, and now organizations are entwined with the information age, and new forms of isomorphic pressures around social media and like technologies abound. Is this the spirit of a new iron cage? We'll tune into the episode and find out. And that's all for now. We invite you to listen to the episode, available in two parts on our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com. or through your favorite podcast streaming service. Thank you for listening and have a great day.